And as we continue with this series, we continue to make our way through the book of Acts. Last Sunday, we spent some time with Paul, one of the well-known figures of the Bible and an important leader in the early church. Today, we're going to meet another well-known figure of the Bible who was also an important leader of the early church. Now, Peter is probably best known for one of his worst moments, the three times he denied Jesus after Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. But despite those moments of weakness, Peter was one of the disciples who received an appearance from Jesus after the resurrection. Jesus gave him the opportunity to declare his love three times to balance out that threefold denial. Peter then went on to become the leader of the early church in Jerusalem, and he had a special role in ministering to the members of the Jewish community who were also followers of Jesus. Now, it's helpful if we can put ourselves back in Peter's time to understand why Peter's ministry was so important. We need to remember that most of the earliest followers of Jesus were also faithful Jews, and they intended to remain so. There was no question for church leaders like Peter as to whether God's promise of salvation in Jesus Christ applied to the Jewish people. The question in the early church was whether God's promise of salvation applied to people who weren't Jews. The question requiring massive argument was not, will the Jews be saved, but will the Gentiles be saved? The earliest followers of Jesus had no idea that God's promise of salvation in Jesus Christ would ever be made available to people outside the Jewish faith. It took leaders like Peter to help the early church draw the circle of God's love wider, making room for people they never expected. Now, the scripture reading we're going to hear today is part of a larger story, the story of a man named Cornelius who converted in his faith. This story is one of the longest narratives in Acts. It is 66 verses long. So judged solely on the amount of space that this takes up in the book of Acts, it is clear that we are dealing with a crucial point here, a pivot point for the whole book, and a turning point in the church's understanding of themselves and of God. The story begins with Cornelius. He was a Gentile, a Roman, an army officer who made his living through military occupation. He was an outsider through and through. But Cornelius was also devout. He gave generously, he prayed constantly, and he must have been open to inspiration then, open to a vision, in which an angel of the Lord appeared to him and asked him to send some of his men to a house in Joppa where they would find a man named Peter. And when we meet Peter, we find him having a vision of his own, a vision that causes him to rethink the dietary laws that have been a matter of survival and identity for him and for the Jewish community for centuries. But Peter discovers that God is drawing the circle wider, making space in the early church for things and for people Peter never expected. So listen now for the word of God. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened, and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. And then later we hear the impact of this vision when Peter began to speak, saying, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. God has this way of drawing us toward people we might never expect. In one of the UCC daily devotional emails, the Reverend Mary Ludi tells the story of a church that had two deacons who disliked each other intensely. I was always taught by my mom that that was a nice way to say that you hate something. You dislike it intensely, right? Everyone dreaded going to deacons' meetings because of the way that those two would go at each other. The church had a behavioral covenant, and even that didn't stop them. It was bad. Now, that church also included communion every week as part of their worship services, and it was the deacon's job to serve the congregation. They did so in pairs according to a set schedule. And it was also customary that when each pair finished serving the people who came through their designated station, they would turn and serve communion to each other before they returned the bread and the cup to the communion table at the front of the sanctuary. Now, as you might imagine, the two warring deacons were never paired up on that schedule. No one wanted the fireworks that erupted between them during deacons' meetings to suddenly explode in the sanctuary during worship. But one Sunday morning, as she was serving communion, the chair of deacons had an epiphany. That afternoon, she made a new schedule, assigning those two difficult deacons to serve with each other for 6 months. As you might also imagine, those two deacons were quite shocked and less than pleased about the new schedule, but maybe miracles do happen. They bit their tongues and did not say a word. They went along with it. And so it was that every week, after they finished serving the congregation, they turned to each other. And one of them would say, "This is the body of Christ broken for you." And the other would say, "This is the cup of blessing poured out for you." Every week for 6 months. Now, you might also be imagining that you know how the story ends, that somehow those two deacons ended up the best of friends. But remember that they are human, after all. That didn't exactly happen, but something did change between them. As Reverend Ludi says, you can't offer mercy to an enemy week after week and not start to mean it, even a little. You can't put healing in someone's hand for months on end without something rubbing off on you. At the end of their six-month assignment, the two deacons found themselves less at odds. They would even occasionally defer to one another. Instead of constantly arming themselves for battle, they softened toward each other. And they realized that the circle of God's love included them both. Sometimes, God draws us toward people we might never expect. Peter discovered that to be true one day when he went up on the roof to pray in Joppa. He fell into a trance and was given a vision from God. In that vision, God brought together a whole bunch of animals, a mix of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds, and the sheet that came down from heaven was filled with those animals, some of which Peter had spent his entire life working really hard to avoid. And here God was, putting those animals in front of him, both the clean and the unclean, and God was commanding him to kill and eat. Just when Peter thought he was totally clear about what kinds of things were clean and unclean, what was okay and not okay, what was in and what was out, God came along and broke down those barriers and drew the circle even wider to include things that Peter never expected. And Peter was left puzzled. Then Cornelius's messengers, those ones that the angel of the Lord had asked him to send to Joppa, they arrived looking for Peter, and they invited Peter to return with them to Cornelius's home, the home of a Gentile. There, Peter found that Cornelius had gathered his friends and his relatives to greet him and to listen to him preach. But first, Peter and Cornelius talked with each other, and in that conversation, something became clear. We realized this isn't just a story about the conversion of a Gentile. It's also about the conversion of an apostle. Cornelius is not the only one who is changed. Peter is too. When Peter speaks to the crowd gathered at Cornelius's house, he confesses that he has breached Jewish law by entering a Gentile home, and he is willing to do this because God has given him a vision of something new. God has rearranged his understanding of what is clean and unclean, what is okay and what is not okay, what is in and what is out. God has come along and broken down all of those barriers and drawn the circle even wider to include things and people that Peter never expected. Peter realizes that the circle of God's love includes not only Jews, but also Gentiles. He realizes that God shows no partiality, and if God shows no partiality, then maybe the church shouldn't either. Again and again in Acts, the church has to change and adapt in order to keep up with what God is doing in the world. Just when the church starts to get comfortable, to think that they have it all figured out, that they know what is clean and unclean, what is okay and what is not, what is in and what is out, God comes along and breaks down barriers and draws the circle even wider to include things the earliest Christians never expected, to include people the earliest Christians never expected. So why do we think that it will be any different today? We still need to change and adapt in order to keep up with what God is doing in the world, and we need to be ready. Because just when we start to get comfortable, just when we think that we have it figured out, that we know what is clean and unclean, what is okay and not okay, what is in and what is out, God comes along and breaks down our barriers and draws the circle even wider to include the things and the people that we might never expect. So part of what it meant to be a Christian in the first century, and part of what it means to be a Christian in the 21st century today, is that we need to be ready to make room for people that we might never expect, people who think differently from us, people who experience God in different ways, people who are on different sides of political and moral issues, people who vote differently than we do, people who worship in different ways, pray in different ways. Just when we think that we have it figured out, God comes along and breaks down any barrier that we might have put up between us and them, and God draws the circle wider to include us all. That is the beauty and the challenge of our God. That is the beauty and the challenge of being church. That is the beauty and the challenge of trying to be people of faith, trying to change and adapt just to keep up with what God is doing in the world today. So friends, let's not get too comfortable. Because just when we think that the circle is set, just when we think it's totally clear who is in and who is out, who is right and who is wrong, I bet sooner or later God is going to come along and draw the circle even wider. And we're going to find that the circle includes people we might never expect. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.